Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Come on in, getting ready to ring in a new month, celebrate Labor Day. And to that end, actually, by special request from one of our very special listeners, we have a quick take on the actual labor process to deliver a baby to tell you about. And several months ago, this is kind of where it came from. We received an email suggesting that subject and to talk about it on Labor Day. So I wasn't and I'm not in that headspace. It's been 5 years since I delivered a baby, but we're going to just wade into those waters a little bit and just talk about, should there be a spiritual preference between natural and medicated childbirth? And when we are in pain, how can we best offer that up? So some good, just quick tips about that. I'll share my story quickly coming up and would love to hear your perspective on that as well. Also, some good recommendations for movie night. I was a film watching freak on the 10-hour flight from Rome to Atlanta last week when we were coming back from Italy. And it's hard to do much of anything else because they turn all the lights off. They encourage sleep. And even the glow of a laptop can kind of be too much. But somehow the glow of the TV screen is just fine. So I was able to get a little bit of writing in, which was a blessing and part of my goal. And as you know, working on a book and completing a manuscript that has to be turned in by December, I'm kind of now on a personal timetable with the kids back in school. So this topic I was writing about is bad moods, conquering bad moods. I started with that chapter because I feel like it's going to be one of the hardest for me to write personally. But thankfully, that did allow for some time for some deep work there. But aside from that, I was just watching movies and cranking them out. And I do have from that some good ones to share with you. We're going to get our movie groove on. And so that'll be coming up. Also, back to school emotions and much more coming up on the program today. Also, a big thank you is in order just for you, A.E. Wills. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Our newest precious Podbean patron. So grateful for your support to keep the show going. Thank you to every single Podbean patron, good friend of Good Things Radio. It's just a simple way to keep this show alive. It's like a tip jar program, helping offset expenses and allows us to keep bringing you good quality shows because that takes time and money and equipment. And also, honestly, it's just nice to have the encouragement of friends that say, I believe in what you're doing and you've done that. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, A.E. Wills. There's no minimum, by the way. You can donate $1 a month or up to $100 a month. There's no maximum either. But in return, our family promises to pray for you and Good Things Radio will hopefully continue to grow. So to become a good friend of the show, you can just go to podbean.com, look up Good Things Radio, or there's an app. You can do it that way too. And when you download the app, you get all the new episodes that way as well. So click on the crowdfunding and you will be able to donate to support Good Things Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And especially to all of the listeners, whether you are a Podbean patron or not, for taking the time to support the program, download the episodes, and keep us going. God bless you. And let's celebrate. Now let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray as we think about Labor Day for the men and women who are not able to find jobs. We pray for those who are out of work. We pray for listener Ken and all of those searching for their continued perseverance and determination as they seek to participate, Lord, in your creation and in your work. We pray for men and women and children who suffer from lack of solidarity in their daily struggle to survive. Lord, take our efforts, our daily work and cares, and receive it as a song of thanksgiving for the lives you've given us. Help us to see you in the work of our days, in the monastic spirit of the Benedictines, whose motto is Ora et Labora, work as prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Step over this way, please. Get out of the line. Next. Passport, please.
Welcome to the United States, ma'am.
Dear Rose, I miss you and mother and think about you every day. The most important news is that I have a job and I'm in a boarding house.
So that is a little clip from the movie Brooklyn. And maybe you already know all about it because it was one of the nominees for Best Picture of the Year at the Academy Awards. And truthfully, I didn't pay attention because the Oscars have lost all credibility in my book over the years, which is some of the weird movies that they hold up. But in this case, I think it certainly did deserve to be up there with the best of them. It was a really good movie. So the movie tells the story of a young Irish immigrant, if you kind of gathered from that clip, and she moves alone, leaving her mom and her sister back in Ireland, and navigates her way through Brooklyn. It takes place in like the 1950s, and it's got it all. It has faith, really good 1950s fashion, which I know is important for the guys, just kidding, but also tender moments. There's heartbreak. You see sacrifice and kind of what the family gave up in order for her to come and what she gave up in order to live there away from her family that she loved, and kind of the heart being in two different places at once. It's brilliant. It's rated PG-13. I would say it's for the family, but there is one scene that, you know, for myself and having young boys, that I would skip over when I watch it. And I don't want to give it away like a spoiler alert, but I will say it's right after they get engaged, right before they get married, if you can kind of put two and two together. And of the movie, there's little language, there's little of anything that would be problematic if you're going to do a family movie night. I think, though, for me personally, it would be more of a date night. So that's one. That's Brooklyn. Thumbs up totally. Another movie, definitely safe for the whole family, is Francis, Pray For Me. And I loved this movie. I wish that I had a notepad and could take notes as I was watching the movie, because everything is filled with these pithy, wisdom-filled phrases from Cardinal Bergoglio, from Pope Francis. And it's a 2015 Argentine film, so you know that means subtitles. It's not in English, but it's based on a book from a correspondent, an author, that got to be really close friends with him and kind of tells her story along with it. And I don't know off the top of my head, and I didn't do research, if you can find it on Amazon or Netflix, but look it up, buy it if you can. It's so worthwhile. Again, it's called Francis, Pray For Me, and it came out in 2015. And then finally, this is a total chick flick. It's for the ladies, and I loved it. It's a little bit different, but it's the movie Coco Before Chanel.
But before she was Chanel, she was Coco.
J'ai perdu mon pauvre Coco, Coco mon chien que j'adore.
Coco, Coco.
Il croquait des ronds, il est loin, s'il court encore.
Si, j'aime bien.
Sinon, par ça, il te plaît.
Il est moins abruti que les autres. Et lui, il a des relations.
So I never knew that Coco, Gabrielle was her real name, that she started her life as an orphan with her sister. It was a Catholic orphanage. And as it was kind of as a young woman and then starting her life that way. And it's not at all like Francis, the Pope Francis movie. It's not even really like Brooklyn. It's a little bit more rough. So I would say this is not one for the family. And you see a bit of the insight into that era and the life that she lived. And it is a little rough. It's kind of French debauchery a little bit. But you also see that she dared to be different. And for, you know, a good kind of girly movie, I give it a thumbs up. I thought it was really fascinating. And again, a lot of emotions. When a movie is well told, you're just pulled into the story. And our human struggle to survive and to find love and acceptance and, in the end, joy. And I did wonder what her faith was, because you could see that she had certain standards. And I wondered if it was that faith formation, that foundation that she had, but it didn't talk about it. So I'd like to do a little bit more research on her faith. I saw a picture of her and she had a big cross pin on as she was older in life, but she never married and obviously devoted her gifts to fashion, which she was very blessed at doing. But that's one movie, another thumbs up. And then finally, kind of an honorable mention would be My Big Fat Greek Wedding too. I thought it was cute and funny. It's just a really good feel-good movie.
Gare?
Yeah?
I changed my mind. I want that epidural. I want it, Gare.
No, no, honey. Yep. No. You said you didn't want it, and you said that even if you did ask for it, that would just be the crazy talking.
Oh, Gary! Get me the juice!
That seemed a little crazy.
Oh, is that so true? So many months ago, several months ago, I received an email from one of our beautiful listeners, and I'm so bummed because I cannot track down the original email. But she requested a show topic about labor and delivery, specifically, I believe, the question of medicated versus natural. And my interest was piqued for sure. But since I'm not currently pregnant, it's been 5 years since I was in labor, that I knew that I would have to kind of do some homework and go back in time a little bit into that mental headspace to make it interesting, because I don't know. But I can tell you that for me, I'll just kind of tell you my story and how it evolved. And I would love to hear your perspective on this as well. So I have been pregnant 7 times. I've had 3 miscarriages, including one at 13 weeks, a little baby, a boy named Luke Dominic, and as well as something called secondary infertility. So that means that for me, in the beginning, it was relatively easy to conceive. For my husband and I, we were able to have, you know, our son Gabriel and Grant and Garrett, along with, at that time, we did have the 3 miscarriages in between as well. And then after our son Garrett was born, I was unable to get pregnant, and there was really no rhyme or reason. I had gotten examined, checked out, tests done, my husband as well. Everything looked okay. And I was charting. We knew what we were doing, but it just wasn't happening. And in that time, of course, you hear everything. People saying, you need to relax, don't think about it, which is hard to do. But nevertheless, I did try a Clomid therapy. That didn't work as well. And so it went on for 4 years. And then in that time, of course, we began to think about adoption. That's where our daughter Carolina comes in and how she came into our lives. And then as we were at the end of the process, we found out that we were pregnant. So that's where Gus comes in. Now, since then, we've not been able to have any more children. And because our house is so full and our life is definitely packed, we've been okay and at peace with that. But the woman's body is amazing. And that's why I'm always an advocate for, if you can, while you can. People feel when you do natural family planning that you might have 20 children, 15 children. But that's not, I feel like that's a rare case for a woman, because there are so many things that come in. A woman might have a miscarriage. There might be months where she's not ovulating or infertile, or there might be months where you just don't match up cycle-wise. So I think for us, it's been a gift to do natural family planning, but that's an entirely different side note of a topic. The other topic was labor and delivery. So for me, that reason of 4 years of secondary infertility and then finally getting pregnant and being so delighted with the surprise of our baby changed a lot for me at that point. And it was, for me, a time that I was really spiritually, I think, alert as well, going through our adoption with my dad at the same time, also sick, dying from lung cancer, and then finding out we were pregnant, and then all of that with a morning sickness, you know, my dad having chemo at the time. And I remember, as much as I didn't want it to be so that he was sick, it offered me an opportunity to offer up my sickness and my suffering for him, because we were both throwing up. But I knew that if I could use that to somehow strengthen him and pray for him, it would be worth it. And so for the first time after that, I also looked into natural childbirth. And honestly, before that, it never even dawned on me. I know it sounds crazy, but I was young. My husband and I got married when I was 21. I did not have a support system of moms or a church community at that time. So I just thought it was a settled issue where you go in, if you can have an epidural, that's what you do. And then when I came back to my faith and I got older and I learned more, I started to study, first of all, redemptive suffering. And then I started to feel a bond with Our Lady. And I thought for the first time it might be, for me, the way to go with my childbirth. And then Jennifer Willits gave me a book that changed everything. It's called The Birth Book by Dr. Sears, and the rest was history. I highly recommend that book, first of all. But for me, it was a tremendous eye-opener that God made the female body to give birth. And as we know, the best laid plans rarely turn out. You can have your birth plan. You can say, I'm doing it this way. But of course, it's not always that way. And I want to stress that first and foremost, because everybody, every story is different. And I'm not in any way judging or saying how this is the way it should be. I'm just telling how it was for us and what we learned, because that happened. I was overdue with Gus. They had set the date for an induction. So right away, my heart sank a little bit, because I thought, I'm going to get Pitocin, and then I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, because when they give you Pitocin, those contractions are so strong, and I wasn't sure if I would be able to do it. So the night before, I went to adoration. They were going to induce me in the morning, and I prayed at the adoration chapel, and then hours later, about 4 a.m, I went into labor on my own, and it was amazing. So I didn't have to have that. And I was still already scheduled to go into the hospital. My mom and everybody was already squared away with the kids and having them covered for childcare. So I remember that Jennifer was kind of my virtual doula, and she walked me through my breathing. We were texting. My husband played an active role in the labor process because I needed him. Before that, in previous deliveries, he would just sleep in the recliner, which I don't blame him because I, after I got my epidural, was just hanging out until they said that it was time for the baby to be born. But this was different. I needed him, and he was there, and he felt needed. We would walk in the hall. He would rub my feet. And then, of course, it's feeling out when to step forward and when to step back. And so God bless the guys who try that just don't know what to do. And I could see the helplessness because he was trying to be there but not try to be overbearing. But it was really beautiful. And what I did was use the soundtrack from the Nativity Story movie, and that was a meditative tool. So as I was having the contractions, mentally I would reflect and contemplate on like Breath of Heaven. That's a song that was in that soundtrack, Mary, Sweet Mary. And it just allowed me to enter into that concentration. That was our experience. I loved it. I wished that I would have done that for my other children, but if I would have, maybe I wouldn't have appreciated it so much. I'm just thankful that I was able to have that opportunity with my son, with Augustine, and it went well as could be imagined. Now, I'm sitting here 5 years out and easily able to say that was great. But if you want to go back and see on YouTube, I posted my birth video with my story and little baby Gus in my arms just days after he was born 5 years ago. So if you're interested, if you go to YouTube, it's again, Brooke Taylor 9, Brooke Taylor and the number 9. And if you just look for Brooke's birth story, if I can say that without lisping, Brooke's birth story, then you'll see it's about a 5-minute video clip going over it. So I hope that answers your question to our wonderful listener. What was your story like? What was your labor like? I love to hear it all. That's something I never get tired because I feel like in a lot of ways, you know, guys have their combat stories or their fishing stories. And women, so often it's their labor stories. And not everyone is a mom. And some are spiritual mothers. And that can come with a labor delivery in some ways too, where these children are like your own spiritually. But anything you want to share regarding that, reach out, send an email, feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also on our Facebook page too, you can also chime in, as well as Voxer. Again, it's Brooke Taylor and the number 1 to reach out.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone.
Okay, so here we are, finally back to school. The new season has begun. If your kids aren't in school, I know they will be soon, within the next month or so for sure, I'm guessing. In our home, it's on. It is back to school. So I just was going to share a couple reflections about that because I don't think I shared the update about our oldest son. Last year, he was accepted and went to a Jesuit high school. And this was a big sacrifice for us financially, but also an amazing gift that he would be able to go to a school like this that the Lord provided. Well, over the summer, we did a lot of praying and a lot of soul searching about this. And we decided to send him to the local public school for a couple different reasons. Number one, probably one of the biggest, is financial. In our home of 5 kids and 2 of them, now 3 with our youngest Gus in preschool, going to a Catholic school, and that's where they receive their sacraments, it's a lot. Adding on our son and the distance, and he also got a job, and honestly, his grades weren't that good, and he really struggled. And so when we looked at the pros and cons back and forth about everything, we thought we're just going to try this public school, and he was open to it. And so that's how we've started the year. So this is the first time ever that he's not worn a uniform. He's a sophomore in school. He's going to be 15, I can't believe it, in another couple of weeks. And so that's probably been our biggest transition. Carolina is giving a little cameo on the show as well. She's down here in my studio playing. So if you hear her, she's playing with a little airplane in a kitchen. And I'll keep you posted as we go on. Also, the big change in our life for our family is Gus, our youngest, is starting preschool. So he'll be 4 days a week in school all day. This is the first time in about 15 years that we've kind of had an empty nest. So I'm a little bit emotional about that, but it's good. And I look at the baby that is now growing with my book. And so hopefully that will be a good time, kind of my full-time job as Gus is in school and everybody's gone. Our foreign exchange student is back. Vivian is with us. So there's never a dull moment, that is for sure. There's so much coming up down the pike. We're planning the Arise retreat. We've got great news that on the next episode, I will share with you and spill the beans and celebrate. And a lot to look forward to this season, I think, as well.
Brooke's gonna make you cry. Brooke's gonna try to make you cry.
Before we wrap up the program, I wanted to share something with you in the mindset of back to school. And for all of us, this transition of season and how important it is to see God in the daily ordinary of our lives. This is called Find Something Beautiful as we conclude the show today. I had a very special teacher in high school many years ago whose husband unexpectedly died suddenly of a heart attack. About a week after his death, she shared some of her insight with a classroom of students. As the late afternoon sunlight came streaming in through the classroom windows and the class was nearly over, she moved a few things aside on the edge of her desk and sat down there. With a gentle look of reflection on her face, she paused and said, "Before class is over, I would like to share with all of you a thought that is unrelated to class, but which I feel is very important. Each of us is put here on earth to learn, share, love, appreciate, and give of ourselves. None of us knows when this fantastic experience will end. It can be taken away at any moment. Perhaps this is God's way of telling us that we must make the most out of every single day." Her eyes beginning to water, she went on, "So I would like you all to make me a promise. From now on your way to school, on your way home, find something beautiful to notice. It doesn't have to be something you see. It could be a scent, perhaps a freshly baked bread, or it could be the sound of the breeze slightly rustling the leaves in the trees, or the way the morning light catches one autumn leaf as it falls gently to the ground. Please look for these things and cherish them, for although it may sound trite to some, these things are the stuff of life, the little things we are put here on earth to enjoy, the things we often take for granted. We must make it important to notice them, for at any time, it can be all taken away." The class was completely quiet. We all picked up our books and filed out of the room silently. That afternoon, I noticed more things on my way home from school than I had the entire semester. Every once in a while, I think of that teacher and remember what an impression she made on all of us. And I try to appreciate all of those things that sometimes we all overlook. Take notice of something special you see on your lunch hour today. Go barefoot or walk on the beach at sunset. Stop off on the way home tonight to get a double dip ice cream cone. For as we get older, it is not the things we did we often regret, but the things we did not do. God bless you. And as we think of how fleeting life is, just a reminder to pray for those in Italy suffering, central Italy, the Norcia area, and that aftermath of the earthquake that has taken so many. Just days before, as you know, we were there in that area. It was 80 miles from Rome. And I think, as my friend Andrea pointed out, we hear every day disasters in the news and things that happen, and it feels far away, and our heart breaks, and we think of what they're going through. But this was, at least for us and our group, a situation where it was so close to home. We were just there and still seeing the smiles of the people fresh in our minds and hearing their words and their language and their voices and their laughter. And there are so many stories of devastation. So we lift them up in prayer. Also those in Louisiana and around the world, in Syria, the pictures there continue to just be unbelievable, and offer God our prayers of hope for peace in the church triumphant that will one day be in glory. God bless you. I hope to hear from you. Reach out. You know, I love it when you take the time to check in. feedback@goodthingsradio.com. is how you can leave an email. Also through Voxer. Also on iTunes. Have you left a review yet? We've not had any new reviews for a while, and I would love, love, love if you like the show, and heck if you don't, but hopefully you will, to leave a review. Let people know your thoughts so that they can find Good Things Radio as well. And you can also become a subscriber that way as well. God bless you. Enjoy your Labor Day and back to school early September season. We'll be back in a week. We're back on track. Thank you, thank you, thank you again for being a part of Good Things Radio. And an extra special thank you to our producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio. He is a producer extraordinaire. Just check out his website. Tell him that Brooke sent you. It's cumminghomestudio.com. He's also on Facebook. Until next time, friends, God bless you.